Good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is November 3rd, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here with us. Before we get started, we're going to go to the Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, that you be with this broadcast today. I pray, Father, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon it, Father. I pray, Father, that you assist, that you guide, and that you direct. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. And we're going to go ahead and start off with a song. The song this morning that I wanted to start off with is His Land Will Be Healed. And coming up in just a minute. We're going to do things a little bit different today. I got a couple songs that I wanted to play. I want to spend some time in some scriptures, and I think that it's important that we pray Psalms 83 and 91 today, and we're going to do that here after this song. You can't go wrong with Scripture. I've listened to a lot of church services lately, and it's shocking to me about how little of Scripture is actually taught in churches, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we get started, I think it's good to go to have a song, and this one is His Land Will Be Healed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and His land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er His land and His hills. False prophets and preachers, they'll run for the hills. Your lies have been uncovered, your deceptions revealed. Oh, and my heart fills with gladness when I hear the sound of your pulpits being cleansed and made into holy ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and His land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er His land and His hills. God's truth and justice, His laws will prevail, and the snakes and the tares will be sentenced to hell. New judges will be appointed, Jesus will be king. Our days will be joyous as His praises we sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and His land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er His land and His hills.
And we're back. A couple things as far as announcements go. We have printed and printing Dragon Slayer Volume 11, 2024. And Lord willing, it'll be in the mail tomorrow on its way headed to you. Do appreciate those that have been contacted and letting us know. Talked to a lady yesterday from Wisconsin, and she shared a little bit of a story with me. But she called to tell me about her getting her DVD Church and how she was getting two of them on the same day. And that conversation, she called to let me know and ended up talking. And she was able to share a testimony with me about being on an operating table 3 years ago and how she died twice on an operating table. And, you know, it was nothing but prayer that brought her back to life. And she's got a job now at a hardware store that, and she says that she's able to share her testimony with people when people seek her out and talk to her. So it was good to have that conversation, and it's good to stay in touch and to meet new people. There's a lot of times we don't get to see you folks out there or even talk to you, but I can tell that it was one of those phone calls that it was just definitely meant to be, and I appreciated it. It was good for me to hear those stories, and do appreciate the phone calls. I want to start off with, we have a thing that I was going through some paperwork in the office sometime back, and I found this Lamentations for America, and we'll go ahead and bring it on the screen. And I had not read this in many, many years, and I didn't even realize that we had any of them left, but we do. I found a whole slew of them. If you'd like one, I'd like to send it to you. We're going to offer this one free of charge. And it was something that I thought was old and outdated. And as I read it, it really just kind of spoke to me. So I want to start off with by reading this morning. It says, "It came to pass on the year of our Lord, 1993, on the 28th day of the fifth month, I was among the people who are gathered in the town square to hear the United States senatorial candidates debate the issues. I saw the window of heaven open, and the rain poured down upon the just as well as the unjust. And the word of the Lord came expressly unto me, a mere exhorter, and said, How doth the country stay cowed behind bars, in the windows, deadbolts to their doors, yards lit with security lights and with guard dogs, how has she become a hostage? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. She hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. She dwelt among the heathen, who by the millions have gained admittance among her Christian citizens by the immigration authorities, and millions more who have traversed her borders illegally, and who instead of being charged and deported are rewarded by the government with food stamps, social security payments, and bilingual education. Her preachers sigh and continue to preach the same sermons which they constructed and preached decades before to other audiences, while windows are afflicted with robberies, rapists, and who are afraid to journey out to the local store to cash their social security checks. Her adversaries are her commander-in-chief, his cabinet, and her Congress. Because of them, her enemies prosper. They receive billions of her dollars in foreign aid and protection from her own military. Her commander-in-chief strives to open the ranks of her military to the enemies of thy commandments. Men and women, homosexuals and lesbians who perform abominations in thy sight. I have afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are being led into a lifestyle of unwed relationships, sex, abortions, pornography, dope, alcohol, and single-parent families by the enemies who are operating within her government and within her church. O Lord, behold our affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. In the days of her affliction and of her miseries, the old folks remember the pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people honored their Sabbaths, when children honored their parents, when seldom a lock was found on a door. When her school yards were without fences, their hallways without policemen, guns, and dope-sniffing dogs. When no teacher or student was molested on her campuses, where her buildings and hallways were free from the graffiti. Schools were prayers, and abstinence was offered up to thee, O Lord, and her flag was honored and saluted, where the three R's flourished instead of social studies and sex education, which teaches homosexuality as an accepted optional lifestyle, where condoms are given freely to her children, but your word cannot be freely distributed, or your followers gather in your name in her classrooms, where there were no teenage pregnancies or suicides, when parties and gatherings were free from the threat of drive-by shootings, where the children could leave their coats and hats on a peg in the hallway in the morning upon entering school and find them still there in the afternoon when it was time to leave. Thou hast heard, O Lord, from the lips of those who rise up against me. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. Render unto them the recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their mouths, and their hands given them sorrow of heart, and let thy curse be upon them. Persecute them, destroy them in the anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Thy adversaries have spread out his hand upon all the pleasant things, for she has seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter unto thy congregation. All her people sigh, and they seek bread. They have given their freedom for meat to relieve their souls. See, O Lord, for these things I weep in mine eyes. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from us. Our children are in desolate, because our enemies prevaileth. But the Lord is righteous, for I too have rebelled against your commandment. For years you hath on my door, but I did not answer. My back was turned to it. I pray that the Christian people will share my sorrow for our country, America the Beautiful, and her children, and that you will join me in lifting up the following prayers to Jehovah God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and our righteousness. Let all the wickedness of our enemies come before thee, O Lord, and do unto them as thou hast done unto us for all of our transgressions. For my sighs are many, and my heart is faint, but no longer will I turn back on thee, O Lord, and your commandments. I will heed your call and purge the unrighteous Antichrist enemy from our government, our schools, and your churches. Your name will once again be exalted in all our public buildings and places. Then surely your goodness and mercy will follow me and mine, and we shall dwell in your kingdom on earth forever and ever. Amen. And as I read this, it was something that was written in 1993, and this ministry actually put it out and sent it out along with a newsletter. And I remember reading it back then and had forgot about it. But as I read it, it described, I think, and I really believe today, more than it described things that were happening back in 1993. And as we see these things that are happening, I wanted to start off by reading a couple of scriptures. And I want to start off by reading Psalms 91. And we can't go wrong with scriptures, and I know we've taken time to do it. But we're just going to take the time to read that, and then we're going to pray Psalms 83 too. We've got a lot of things that are happening in this land, and I really believe that this is the time for prayer. And I've been encouraging people, and I encourage people in our last newsletter and the one before that. Pray Psalms 93, pray Psalms 83. I believe that those are the perfect prayers that we can be praying for this land when our enemies are making an uproar against us. And we'll bring Psalms 91 up on the screen and encourage you just to pray it with me. Psalms 91, security of the one who trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. And then we'll turn to Psalms 83. As we see so many of these things, and I believe that these enemies are the enemies that we're facing today. Let us pray. O God, do not remain quiet. O God, do not remain quiet, do not be silent, and O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gabel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria has also joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian and as with Sisera and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became as dung of the ground. Make their nobles like Orb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, like the fire that burns the forest, and a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, and let them, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord. And I think that it's important for us to remember those and pray. A scripture that I wrote down before we came up, and, you know, I want people to be praying. There's a lot of churches, like Richard said in Scriptural Review of the News, that are calling for people to pray on the morning. What is it, 6 o'clock or is it 5 o'clock? 6 o'clock on the morning of the 5th on the election day. Oh, tomorrow evening. And to be praying, and they're going to be praying 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's what we need in this land. One of the scriptures that I jotted down was Daniel 2:21, and I don't have a slide for it, but he says, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings, and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, this and that and saying all kinds of stuff about the election. You know, and I've just been encouraging people to pray. This is going to be a game changer. And it very possible, the way that I see it, if the enemy gets in, it could be the last election. They're already saying that they're going to bring in these illegals, and they're already showing that in some states they're letting these illegals vote. There's, you know, definitely trying to get everything that they possibly can do with this voter fraud. They've been caught several times in their plots, And then when you need to, you know, just pray, Father, that to our Heavenly Father, that they are exposed for what they're doing. We know that they steal, kill, and destroy. And we're living in exciting times. And not to worry people, because we are, you know, in the shelter of the Most High, of that Psalms 91 talks about. And just want people to be encouraged by that. This week was an exciting week for me. There was a lot of things that happened. Had a birthday, and that wasn't quite so exciting, even though my children didn't really understand why it wasn't exciting. And had to tell them that when you get to be my age, you know, birthdays aren't as exciting as they are when you're a child. But got to spend time with my oldest son, and we had a lot of fun. We were putting up some fence and setting fence posts and concrete, and a lot of manual labor, and it was a good time. Had you know, some really just a good week, and I just felt like the Lord was upon us. And one of the most exciting things that happened this week was a death that took place. And this death that took place was an 81-year-old cowboy that was a good friend of mine's father. And you say, how can that be a good thing? Well, it was that death took place directly behind me, just a couple of feet behind me. And it was a man that at 81 years old last week, decided that he was going to get baptized. We had a Bible study, and he decided that he was going to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And praise God, we met here at the church on Monday afternoon, and we did that. We had a baptism, and it was somebody that I'd been talking to about baptism for probably about 15 years. Pastor Peters, before he passed away, he talked to him for probably about 15 years. His wife was baptized, and she died several years ago. His oldest son passed away several years ago, and he was baptized. And the man was raised in a Methodist church and was sprinkled along with his mother. And he just would, he was a stubborn old cowboy. And he just didn't want to hear that his sprinkling didn't count. And it took an anointing of the Holy Spirit to get through that hard head that he's got. And when that Holy Spirit finally got through to him, he said, let's do it. And he was excited about it. And he called me several times this week just to thank me for it and thank me for arguing with him about it as many years as we did. And it's not about me. I know it was about the Holy Spirit moving in his life. And I was just very, very, very grateful for it. And that was the highlight of my week. And wanted to share that with you. And, you know, that I've been playing some videos here and there on some different things that have been happening in the world. And it occurred to me this last week is, you know, need to get back to, go back to some basics. And that's why I wanted to play the message that we just had by Pastor Peters on There's More to Communion. And it was the first part one of a three-part series. And there was things in there that I had forgotten about communion. And I was going back and I learned a lot from re-listening to that series. And I wanted to share that series, so we're going to have that for the next couple of weeks. And it was really good, and it was really fitting. And then I was thinking about some videos that I had put together. And there's about six videos that I had a really good time. It was probably one of the, you know, best projects that I was working on. I was learning how to be a cameraman and how to edit video. And I remember he's sitting down and talking with Pete about it, and I was up at the ranch, and I told him, I just want to sit down with you in a chair and just talk some cowboy logic on baptism for the remission of sins and make some salvational videos. And I played bits and pieces of them over the years, but wanted to play one, and we might have time for part two and three. But these were just powerful, and these were things, these were tools that I've used over the years to go back to make sure that I was teaching accurately on the biblical plan of salvation. So we're going to have that coming up. Well, this is, I hope you enjoy this as much as I do.
Greetings. I'm Pastor Peters, and I welcome you to my little Bible study I'm having right now in my home. And we have a man with a camera. We decided to film it. Talk about, well, we've prayed before we turned the cameras on that the Holy Spirit would lead in this talk. I guess I might say that it's about the biggest lie that is proclaimed from most church pulpits today. And that lie goes something like this. If you want to become a Christian, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe on Him. And then, of course, John 3:16 is quoted. For God so loved the world. You know the scripture, I'm sure. If you don't, let's just read it. John chapter 3. I was reading in John chapter 3 concerning verse 23, but John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, if you listen closely to some of what I call these dirty birds that have perched on church pulpits, we call them preachers today. If you listen closely to what they say it this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Just kind of listen to that sometimes. And you'll find that it sounds the same with what I just read, but it's different. The difference is the word would and the word should. My Bible says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you should not perish. One illustration I've often used is, I don't know why I came up with it, say that you're a reporter and you're reporting a defusing of a bomb. You're with the bomb squad and you're right there with the camera in front of you. It's like I have a camera in front of me. And you have the microphone up and you're interviewing the guy that's defusing the bomb. And you say to him, now, this won't go off on us, will it? And he turns and says to you, well, it shouldn't. How secure are you going to feel in that? There's a big difference between wouldn't and shouldn't. You shouldn't perish if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I want to tell you something, you will, if you don't do what the Bible says to do. Strange, isn't it not, that everyone seems to be willing to believe John 3:16, but when it comes to Mark 16:16, oh, that's a different story. They don't want to believe that, and you'll find that there'll be more preachers that will come against Pastor Peters for teaching you what I'm showing you in the Bible, that the Bible teaches you, than you can imagine. Because the darkness hates the light. And the light of God's Word exposes men when they are in darkness. Now, there are good men out there, but they're not going to be good men if they refuse to repent and do what the Word of God says. And I want you to know that if the Word of God says one thing and men say another, you better go with the Word. By the way, the Word of God says all men, that includes the one sitting in front of you, are liars. Did you know that? So, what does that mean? That means it doesn't make any difference who the preacher is, if it be Peter Peters or whoever it is. If he says something different than the Word of God says, you better do what the Word of God says. Now you say, well, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? One of the things that we've put out frequently is Public Law 97-280. It was passed by both houses of Congress back in 1983, I believe it was. And it states, very simply, remember, this is a law of the land now, passed by both houses of Congress, that this Bible is the Word of God. And that the people in America ought to study it and follow its teachings. And they quoted in that law that this book is the rock on which our republic rests and is built upon. And the point I'm trying to get across to you is that if this word says one thing, and I as a preacher, or any preacher for that matter, says another thing, you better go with the word. Now, truth is here. One time it was Pilate, I believe, said to Jesus, He said, what is truth? Jesus, in his prayer, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as I recall, said, as he prayed, Father, thy word is truth. This is truth. Let all men be found liars if they go against this book. But it's kind of like we want to just kind of pick and choose what little parts of it we like to believe. Oh, we love to believe John 3:16, don't we? And so they say to you when you decide you're going to become a Christian, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They've even got it down to some little sinner's prayer, or it might be at a meeting, and at the end of the meeting, everyone raise your hand right now if you want to say this prayer with me and accept Jesus. And then they say, oh, they've been born again of the water and spirit. And they quote John 3:16, but Mark 16:16. Let's look and see what Mark 16:16 says. This is part of the word as well. This is truth as well. And the truth is, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you should not perish. But you will. If you refuse to do what Jesus Christ has commissioned me, the Apostle Peter, and all the apostles — I'm not an apostle, I'm not saying that — but he's commissioned Christians with the Great Commission. Mark 16:16. Let's start with verse 15, because it starts the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Did you hear? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Now, what is that baptism? According to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to turn there now, there is only one baptism. Oh, there's many baptisms out there. They sprinkle, they pour, they immerse in water, they even dry clean, don't use any water at all. But I want you to know that Ephesians 4:4 says, and I'm turning there now, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So what is that one baptism? Well, it's one very important baptism, because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized — that's Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So let's look into baptism. When they asked Peter, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what to do to be saved? He did not say the lie that is said from the pulpits today, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is what he said. I read to you from Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this was the preaching of Peter, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Now, you can't get any clearer on the question on that. What shall we do? You can't get any clearer on the answer. This was the answer. Verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if preachers out there say something different, accept Jesus, believe on him, and the Apostle Peter, as it's recorded in the Word of God, the Bible says this, which one are you going to go with? Tough choice? Well, it's a choice that you better make, and you better make it right, because there's a lot at stake. Eternal life. Yes, if you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, should not perish, but you will. If you don't do what you are commanded — this isn't a suggestion, this is a commandment. Let's look at the commandment. First of all, he was speaking to believers. And as I prepared this little short talk, I am assuming I'm talking to believers. If you don't believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, you're so far gone, it's not worth talking to begin with. He arose from the grave third day, and it is known he is the Son of God. But that's not enough. You have to repent. And what does that mean? Repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of action. It is where you surrender your will to the will of the King, King Jesus, who is the King of Kings, where you are no longer your own master, but he becomes your master. It's where you say, Lord, I will stop doing what I know I'm not supposed. I will try to stop doing what I know I'm not supposed to be doing. I will try to start doing what I know I'm supposed to start doing. And anything in the future I learn that I should be trying to stop, I'll try to stop. Anything I learn in the future I should be doing, I'll try to do it. Now that is repentance. You might have noticed the word try, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Repentance. Then, what did he say? Repent and be baptized. That word baptized, we'll do it in another study, means to immerse in water. That's what the word means. It's an onomatopoeia. When the dipper would hit the water in the days that they had a water bucket and a dipper, it would hit the water, it goes bop. An onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like for example, a dog barked. Well, the bark sounds like what the dog does. That's what baptism is. And if you look it up, it means to immerse in water. Oh yeah, man has sprinkling, they have pouring, they have immersion, but there's only one baptism, and it's immersion in water. Now, the next thing is, what is it for? There's a lot of churches out there that give that sinner's prayer until you accept Jesus, then they'll still baptize you, immerse you, but it's become a member of their church, or they say it's for an outward sign, as an outward sign of an inward grace. No, no, no. Your Bible, you are smart enough to figure out what it says, Acts 2:38. It is for the remission of sins, and it's not in the name of Yahshua Wabua or anything else. It has to be immersion for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that Holy Spirit, the Lord says, if you'll try, I'll give you a helper, and that's what the Holy Spirit is. And he helps you to surrender and walk the walk that Jesus Christ would have you walk, and you'll be blessed if you do it. This, what I've just given you, counters the lie that is given from pulpits all across this land. You'll never find it anywhere in the Bible where they said, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not there. If you find it, let me know, would you? I've been in this Bible for many years, and it's not there. But I just showed you what was there, what was spoken there on the day of Pentecost on how to become a Christian. If you write to us, we have a book that I wrote called How to Become a Christian. There's more to tell you, but I wanted to make this filming short and brief. I will tell you this. You can contact us if you want to know how you can be immersed in water if you are a believer and repentant in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Please consider, remember, this is the truth. Anything that counters, it's a lie, even if all the preachers in the land are saying it from the pulpits. It's just not there. You should not perish. You will, if you don't believe Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, I know. What about the thief on the cross? What about believe and be saved? That's another time for another filming. Thank you for taking time to look at this film.
And that is salvation video number one. And if you'd like that or any of the other materials that we do have on salvation or baptizing or how to become a Christian, simply write to us and request it. We'd like to send that information out to you. We send a lot of it out. Every week it seems like we're sending that information out to people. And do encourage you to, you know, you see somebody that that needs to get that information, please share it with them. We've got time for video number two, and we're going to have that. But before we have that, just got an email, and it says, it's a probably a little bit late, but I thought I had requested prayer. I'm running for, I'm not going to say the town, but I'm running for Central Board of Education, of course, against a left-wing loon. Prayers for success would be greatly appreciated. And so we're going to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we lift this person up to you. And Lord, we know that you know who they are. You know their heart and you know that they want to win. And Lord, we need people that fear you, that love you, that worship you in these positions. And Lord, we do pray, Father, for success in this election. We pray, Father, that you lead, guide, and direct, and that you put this person who's requested prayer into that position and help them to do a good job at it. We pray these things in the name above all name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll have video number two. And this is salvation video number two. This is a little bit longer, but it's a really good one.
And I've invited you into my home. I'm sitting here in my chair doing a little Bible study. I think we'll call this little short study salvation study number two. Kind of hook it on to the salvation study number one, where we countered the lie in number one. The lie that's proclaimed all throughout the land, church pulpit to church pulpit, and that is, to become a Christian, all you have to do is believe on Jesus. Accept him as your personal savior and let him come into your heart. I think they've got a thing out there called the sinner's prayer. They call it the faith-only doctrine, just believe. And in that particular dissertation, I quoted John 3:16. Not the way they quoted. They say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have eternal life." That's not what John 3:16 says at all. It says, "Whosoever believes on him should not perish." And there's a big difference between should not and would not. And that's kind of what we talked about in Plan of Salvation number one. And we pointed out in that how people are willing to believe John 3:16, but not Mark 16:16, which has to do with the great commission that Jesus gave to all of us, to go in all the world and preach the gospel. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In this short dissertation that I want to give you, I want to talk about a story. Story about the man who was in his good clothes, riding along in the chariot, and Philip, the evangelist, met him. The story is found in the book of Acts, chapter 8. I think we'll put it at our anotheruntoldstory.com sometime. But anyway, Philip came up to him, and he, the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the queen of Candace, as I remember. He was the secretary of treasury. Let me just find it here. Let me read it here. I was reading it just before the camera was turned on. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 27. "And he arose," talking about Philip, "and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship." So basically, he was secretary of treasure of the queen of Candace, a very important position he had, a very important man, no doubt, in that day and time in the world he was. It says, "He was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?'" Now I want to stop there. This is God's plan for one man to guide another man when it comes to the area of the plan of salvation. We're to go in all the world and preach and teach the gospel. And that's what Philip was doing. It just so happens that this Ethiopian eunuch was in his part of the world. He went up into his chariot, struck up a conversation with him, like I'm doing with you right now. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "And he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Well, now, today, in light of all the churches we have today, I am shocked at how many people do not know about Jesus. I want to tell you real fast. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the great I Am that became flesh and he dwelled among us. And he came and he died for our sins. The justice of God is such that if we are going to be set free, someone has to pay the price for our sins. The law of God is the wages of sin is death. And our God is so just, he's not going to bend the law to suit you or me or whatever. But his son stepped forward and said, Father, let me die for them. And when he did that, it satisfied the justice part of that law and allowed God to extend mercy to us through his son. So indeed, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You can be sure that this was taught, what I just taught you, to the Ethiopian eunuch. But when he was done teaching, I read on. And as they went along the road, it says, left off, and Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Water. Yes, you cannot be baptized with the one baptism of Ephesians 4:4 without water. There is such a thing as being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's such a thing as being baptized by fire. But it's like this. If I say to you, have you had a shower this week, this month, this day? You know that I mean a shower in water. Or if I said, have you had a bath? You know it's a bath in water, unless the element is otherwise specified. And that's the way it is with this word baptism. Because I want to tell you, there'll be some dirty bird false preachers that come along and try to take away from you what I'm trying to give you right now. And that is baptism for the remission of sins. And they'll start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a baptized Holy Ghost, or a baptism of fire. No. The eunuch said, whoa, there's water. It prevents me from being baptized. Now I read on. I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that's one of the prerequisites for baptism, along with repentance. And he answered, and he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. What did they do? They stopped. They went down into the water. The man, you can be sure, he was along in his chariot. He didn't have his swimming trunks on or his old clothes on, but he didn't, as soon as he knew what to do, he didn't tarry. And I say to you, don't tarry. Be baptized for the remission of sins. This baptism is the key to the kingdom. It's Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. And it was Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the first Christian sermon. That's in the book of Acts chapter 2. By the way, the book of Acts has to do with the acts of conversion. There is nowhere in the book of Acts do you find anyone that came to Jesus Christ who was not baptized. Not one. I was reading the first part of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. It says in verse 12, and when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Every example of conversion to Jesus Christ in the book of Acts has baptism with it. It don't take that long to read the book of Acts, just a few pages here. And you can check out to see if what I said is true or not. But in the church world today, they put baptism, as you might say, on the back burner. It's not important. Oh, you might get baptized someday, as they call it, an outward sign of an inward grace, or get baptized to join somebody's church. But they never preach the baptism that is taught, or preached in the Bible. Peter was a preacher, the Apostle Peter. I am Peter Peters, Peter John Peters. I'm a preacher too. Now, if you find a preacher preaching something different than the Apostle Peter when it comes to the plan of salvation, better go with the Apostle Peter, okay? And so you better ask yourself, is the preacher Peter Peters preaching the same thing the Apostle Peter was preaching? Oh, these preachers, they hate Pastor Peters because they don't preach it. They like to say the sinner's prayer and have you accept Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. How do I get any clearer? You don't become a Christian. You are not converted and you're not washed. You're not born again of the water and the Spirit unless you do what the Great Commission says to do in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now Peter said this, asked him in Acts 2:37 what to do to be saved. He said, I read, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Well, I know. Preachers, do they? Oh, and I also know they're going to say, oh, what about the thief on the cross? What about the scripture? Believe and be saved. Oh, so that eliminates what I'm talking about here? What I'm talking to you about is this. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shouldn't perish. You will. If you don't do, and this is a humbling act, I think one of the things that holds people back from conversion is it's not believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's that they have to repent. And this problem, just like it's been my biggest problem in life, is repentance, which means surrender to Jesus Christ, where you say, I'm going to do it your way, Lord. You are going to be my master. You are my king. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's repentance. Then a repentant person is to be baptized, that's immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins. Not as an outward sign of an inward grace like the Baptists like to teach. Not as an ordinance so you can become a member of somebody's church. It is for the remission of sins, and it's got to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a little bit of a movement that's dying out now where a lot of people thought they were going to get baptized in another name. I think the name they're using is Yahuwah or something like that. A name you can't even find in the Bible. Not even there, but they go in this great gyrations of what it means and the word study and this and that. Well, there's plenty of Bibles out there, Bible translators, and they translate the name Jesus Christ, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to address this and address it again and maybe at another time too. There are some of you that know that there's been a change in your life. You've believed on Jesus Christ and you know that he's been leading in your life. You know that he's answered your prayer. Jesus once said, many will say to me on that day, rather than me quote it, let me just read it to you so you don't think I'm making it up. I think it's found over in Matthew chapter 7. Bear with me here. We'll find it. Yes, souls of a warning. Jesus said this, beware of the false prophet who come to you in sheep's clothing. Would you at least do that? When you see me, would you at least consider that maybe I could be a false prophet? But I'd like you to give the same consideration to all these preachers out there. Prophet. How do you tell if there's a false prophet, Pastor Peter? It's very simple. If he says one thing and the Word of God says another, he's a false prophet. Now, he might be saying it unintentionally. Maybe that's the way he was taught. I'm not there to judge why he's doing it, but I'll tell you this. You better make the judgment call that he is doing it, lying to you. The Word and someone telling you something different than the Word is lying. Be it intentionally or whatever, it makes no difference. Lie is a lie. But he said, beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. And he goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It is the will of Jesus Christ that you believe and are baptized. Mark 16:16. You check it out. Many on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Did they believe? Yes. Did they have a converted life? Yes. Did they do miracles? Yes. Were their prayers answered? Yes. Were they saved? It says in the next verse, verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."